Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is available to us in so many translations. We thank you that we live in a country where we have the freedom to be able to open up your word without worry of people storming in and taking us to jail or taking the scriptures away from us. We'd ask that we might not take that freedom lightly. And we do pray for all of our brothers and sisters around the globe who this day are meeting secretly and who are holding on to slips of paper that have just a few verses on it, because that is all of the scripture that they can safely have. We'd ask that you would encourage them as well as they gather together. We'd ask that you would speak to us through your word and that we might be transformed because we have been in your presence. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. I would encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 34, and we will be at the tail end of chapter 34 of Exodus. This is actually the continuation of a mini sermon series which I have been doing in Exodus, which, due to my schedule of being here, we began this mini series back in May. I'm only have the privilege of being in the pulpit when our pastor is on vacation or sick, so my sermon series, even though they may be brief, do tend to be very drawn out. So we started in May looking at Exodus chapter 32, which you may recall is the episode of the golden calf. Following that episode in the life of the children of Israel, when we saw them turn their back on the Lord and to begin to worship a false god, and we saw that Moses went down from the mountain, and when he let them know of his displeasure and that of the Lord, and there were consequences for their sin and for their rebellion. Then in Exodus chapter 33, we saw a request from Moses after he first of all appealed that God would not smite the Israelites out of his book and that he would not get himself a new people. Moses then had a very interesting request, and he asked to see God's glory. And God heard his request and answered it, not necessarily the way that Moses was looking for, but did appear before Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord and his eternal qualities. And then earlier in chapter 34, the first part of the chapter, which we were in during the summer, that is when Moses went back up to the mountain and where he once again received the commandments, the Ten Commandments, a second time. He had to replace the set of stone tablets that he had previously smashed when he had come down from the mountain to find them reveling around that golden calf. And that brings us to this morning's passage, and I will be picking up with verse 29 in Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant, because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is God's word. So this morning, we're talking about the radiant face of Moses. And we see in verses 29 through 32 that his face was radiant. After spending an extended period of time in the Lord's presence, this had a telling effect on Moses. We read in verse 29 that his face was radiant. The verb in the Hebrew, charon, literally means he radiated. The manifestation of the divine countenance struck fear in the Israelites. We see in verse 30 that they didn't want to go anywhere near him. And yet, A word of encouragement from Moses, however, encouraged Aaron and the leaders and all the Israelites to approach him, at which point he then had the privilege of delivering the word of the Lord to them. And then in verses 33 through 35, we see that Moses kept his face veiled. The radiance was only visible to the people when he was acting as the spokesman of God. At other times, he kept his face veiled. Now, this was not a priest's mask, as was common in Canaanite culture, which was the culture around them at the time, for Moses left the veil off when speaking to the people because he was acting as God's messenger, and he also kept it off when he was alone in the presence of God. So, it's a brief passage this morning, but the implications for us are quite substantial. First of all, in order for us to reflect the glory of God, it involves spending time with God. The way the passage that precedes this ends, and so we did this passage back in August, in verse 28 we read, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So Moses spent an extended period of time with the Lord, 40 days and 40 nights. That is quite a retreat. So for us, we can spend time with God by being in prayer. We can spend time with God by being committed to regularly worshiping together with other believers. We can spend time with God by learning more about Him by participating in a small group Bible study. According to Walter Brueggemann, these practices, prayer, worship, and Bible study, put us in personal contact with God and keep us open to the presence, the power, and the possibility of God. Now, the Apostle Paul spoke about this episode with Moses in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll start with verse 7. But we read, "Now, if the ministry that had brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And so the Apostle Paul, when writing to the church in Corinth, made it perfectly clear that we ourselves, if we are in relationship with Christ, then we too can reflect that glory to others. And that glory comes from God. A few weeks ago, our pastor was discussing the apostles in Acts chapter 4. And he said, and he referenced the verse which says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." when we are face to face with God, that encounter changes us. We read it in 2 Corinthians, we see it in Acts chapter 4, and we see that these apostles, Peter and John, they were ordinary men, and yet people recognized, because of the way that they were speaking and the things that they were declaring, it says they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They're not the only ones in the New Testament whose lives were transformed. In Luke 2, and of course we've just come from Christmas time, so this should be a familiar passage, but in Luke 2 we read, "Shepherds were living out in the fields, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." And skipping down to verse 15, we read, "When the angels had left, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." So first we have ordinary men like Peter and John, and even earlier than that, just seeing the Christ child in the manger was enough to transform the lives of the shepherds, and it caused amazement in all who heard them declaring what had been told to them and what they had seen with their own eyes. So when we see the glory of God face to face, we are changed. We become more compassionate. We become more loving. We become more forgiving. We become more truthful. Our actions serve others more than we serve ourselves. Our decisions are driven by what is right, not by what is profitable. When we have face-to-face time with God, we become climbers up and down the mountain. Just as Moses went up the mountain to be with the Lord, we too, metaphorically, can become climbers up and down that mountain. We can find balance in our Christian life. We're able to go up the mountain to be refreshed, to be revived. We can recommit ourselves. And then when we come down, we are able to proclaim freedom to prisoners. When we come down, we are able to give sight to the blind. And when we come down, we are able to help the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, even a jubilee. Now, some of you may have seen online, I've seen some pictures from time to time that are circulating that show how pets start to resemble their owners. I wasn't going to embed those in the PowerPoint presentation because I want the focus to be on the Word, but I think you know what I'm talking about, that after a while, it's a strange phenomenon, but pets sometimes start to look a lot like their owners. Well, that's really what we're talking about today, is that if we have been called by Christ, if we have been redeemed by His blood, which we will celebrate later on as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, then shouldn't we also start to reflect God's glory? The Gospel of John teaches us that Jesus' glory is native to Himself. We read in John 1, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And we know from 1 John that when Christ returns, we also will reflect this glory. And it is a glory, according to 2 Corinthians, which I just read, it's a glory which is nurtured in the meantime when we spend time with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of His Spirit. So I'm sure there are times where on Monday morning, when you are back at work, or when you are meeting with your neighbors, or when you're talking with your family, or whoever it is that's in your sphere of influence, and people ask about your weekend, there are things that we are quick to talk about. If our team did well the night before in Sunday night football, we are quick to talk about what a great game it was. If for some reason our team didn't do as well, sometimes we start complaining about the referees, and we look for this common bond with our friends and our loved ones. Or if we've been to a concert or a musical or this time of year, the ballet, perhaps we've been to the Nutcracker, we can't help but gush about the things that we've experienced. Or perhaps you were caught up in some reality show. Maybe the chefs that you were watching on Cupcake Wars did really well, and that's something that you want to share with your friends. How easy is it for us to share that with the people that we're talking to? Or perhaps if we think back to 2016, and I know a lot of us want to put 2016 behind us, but perhaps I could bring your attention back to November 9th. And people had very, very visceral reactions to the election. Some were very, very depressed and were sad and were heartbroken over the fact that their candidate did not win. And then there were others who were very happy about the fact that their candidate did win. And how easy it was for us to talk about that with the people that we came in contact with. And still to this day, people are still talking about the results of that election. And yet, our question for us this morning, after we have had the opportunity to gather together, for us to sing songs of praise to our Lord, for us to open up His Scripture and to receive God's Word, my question, my challenge for you, is will others know that you have spent time in the presence of the Lord? Will you reflect God's glory to those that you come in contact with? We've been singing about it this morning. We sang, "Make Me a Servant." We sang songs about, "Lord, reign in me." We talked about, "The Lord is the everlasting God." So my question for you this morning is, when we leave this place this morning, after we've had fellowship, after we've had the opportunity to go out and to get back into our routine, my question is, will people know that we have spent time in the presence of the Lord? Will His glory be reflected in our lives? Will His glory be reflected in the decisions that we make, in the way that we carry ourselves, in the way we care for others, the way we sacrifice, the way we love, the way we forgive? So this morning, as we enter a new year, 2017, my challenge to you this year is that as you spend time with the Lord, that when you leave the fellowship, that people would know that you have spent time in the presence of the Lord because you would reflect His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reminder from Your Word that You have called us to reflect Your glory to a dark and to a dying world. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You that You have given us the responsibility to be Your hands and Your feet, to reach out with a cold cup of water or something to eat or a warm coat to those who are suffering. We'd ask that You would open our spiritual eyes, that we would be able to see others as You see them. Help us to identify need. Help us to see how it is that we can meet that need in Your name. Lord, we thank You for the example of Moses. We thank You that as he encountered You, as he spent time with You, Lord, and as he received Your word, that, Lord, his very face would be radiant. And we'd ask, Lord, that that would be true of us, that when we leave this place, that when we have been with You in prayer and in fellowship and in studying Your word, Lord, that people would know that we have been in Your presence. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. This time I would invite the ushers to come forward to receive the offering.